Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interest in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world. One man will assist you on your journey to become a pinner and grow your presence online. Men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host.
Is your host, Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. Well, I had a great show on LinkedIn lined up for you today, but sadly, technology gremlins attacked, and the show with Mike Brooks, only the last 8 minutes seemed to be recorded. But never fear, I have a great show for you on how to build a loyal following on Pinterest. I do want to take this chance to tell you about a group coaching opportunity I will be offering. Very shortly, I will be launching an 8-week in-depth live Pinterest training starting this very month, and I'm really wanting you to be there. If you have any interest in Pinterest and visual marketing, you really need to check this out. Head on over to manlypinteresttips.com/training. That's manlypinteresttips.com/training. Well, even though I'm sad that the recording with Mike Brooks didn't go as planned, he has graciously agreed to re-record them for a future episode, so be on the lookout for that in the future. For today's show, Social Media Examiner has graciously allowed me to share my presentation that I gave for their annual Social Media Success Summit. Now, this was a ticket event, so I'm really thankful that they allowed me to share it with you today. In this presentation, I'll be sharing tips on how to grow your Pinterest following and engagement. I'll reveal the strategies that I use for Social Media Examiner and other clients to build a loyal community. The slides for the presentation are available now on SlideShare. Just search for my name, Jeff C., that's Jeff and S as in Sam, I-E-H, and you'll be able to find them and follow along. They also will be available at manlypinteresttips.com. I had a blast putting this presentation together, and it was well received, and so I'm very excited to be able to share it with you today. So let's jump right into my presentation on growing a loyal following on Pinterest.
Oh, thanks so much, Jessamine. Wow, what an exciting, awesome day. You know, Vincent and Elisa, they did a great job of diving deep in on Pinterest, and I mean, I had to stop taking notes to do this call, so I'm really excited to share with you guys some of the ways that I've discovered on how to grow and engage a loyal following on Pinterest. This is what we're going to cover today. We're going to cover the 4 C's to build your audience on Pinterest. And, you know, I didn't even realize this before, but Jeff C., 4 C's. Now, you got to admit, that's pretty cool. So anyway, I did not plan that. But we are going to start, first of all, with creativity, how you can be creative on Pinterest, and hopefully I'll give you some ideas and inspiration on that way. We're going to go right into consistency on Pinterest and some tools that I use that I think you'll find helpful on helping you make being consistent and have a consistent presence on Pinterest. We're going to talk about collaboration, which I kind of think is the secret sauce that I have found on Pinterest, and I think there's some great tips there for you as well. And then we're going to wrap it up with cross-promotion and some tips and techniques that I have used across different social media platforms that I found very helpful on building your audience on Pinterest. But first, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I got started on Pinterest. You know, many years ago, I was driving with my family from Texas to Kansas, and my wife and I both grew up in Kansas, and our parents still live there. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever driven from Kansas to Texas, it has much to be desired. Not only were we headed to Kansas, we were headed to western Kansas, where my wife's family lived. Now, where my wife's family lives, and they're wheat farmers over there, they're still farming today, the drive is pretty boring. It's extremely boring, and there's not much scenery. It's very flat. In fact, if you're at my wife's family farm and you look off into the distance, you can see the back of your head. That's how flat and desolate this place is. So anyway, I'm driving through western Kansas, and everyone else is asleep. It's nighttime. I'm trying to keep myself awake and not hit any deer, and I stumble across this podcast. Of course, it's Michael Stelzner's Social Media Marketing Podcast, And he has this guest on the show who's talking all about this platform called Pinterest and how it can drive traffic. Now, that episode was episode 125 with, of course, Cynthia Sanchez, and I found it extremely intriguing. I had started a relatively new blog for my business, and I was really wanting to drive traffic, so I started experimenting with this thing called Pinterest, and lo and behold, it started to drive traffic just like Cynthia said it would. So I decided to write a blog post about it, and I called it Manly Pinterest Tips Number 1. And it was a fun little article because there was, and there still is, a misconception that Pinterest is just for the ladies. So I wrote this post on how I shared a secret board with my daughter, and it did really well, and so I continued the blog series. Then, and this is kind of when Google Hangouts shows were taking off, someone said, Jeff, you need to do a show on this. So I paired up with three other guys who actually had a lot bigger following on social media than I did, and we started doing a series of shows called The Manly Pinterest Tip Show. And this show, we did 7 to 10 episodes of this, and that led to another show called The Manly Show. Well, about this time, I started getting interested in experimenting with personal branding, and I thought, you know, it takes about a year to grow a decent beard, so I'll give this personal branding thing for a try for a year, and if it doesn't work, I can always shave it off. And so I relaunched the show with just myself interviewing Pinterest experts in 2014, and I started a weekly podcast. Well, that then led to eventually being a guest on the social media marketing podcast that I was listening to in the car all those years ago, and then spending time with all y'all at the summit today, and then also being asked to speak at next year's social media marketing world. So, wow, what a ride. And all because of this little platform called Pinterest. Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking. You must have to be this great, incredible designer to create pins that succeed on Pinterest. You know, I've had people talk to me and think that when I was in kindergarten, the teacher must have called my parents into the parent-teacher conferences and said, Mr. and Mrs. C, your son, he's so talented. You must enroll him in art classes immediately, or the world will be a poorer place. Well, the truth was closer to the teacher saying, Mr. and Mrs. C, your son is eating paste again, and if he doesn't stop, we're going to have to separate him from the rest of the students. Well, maybe paste gives you creativity, I don't know, but I am not a classically trained designer, and if I can succeed at Pinterest, you can too. Some of the great Pinterest accounts that I follow, I get inspiration and I share from all the time. This is Peg Fitzpatrick, Donna Moritz, Rebecca Radice. Those are all people who spoke on visual marketing at the summit this year, and they're all laser-focused on what they're trying to accomplish with their Pinterest account. They all are super creative, so make sure to study and follow people who are succeeding on Pinterest, because all these people are outstanding in their field, and you don't want to be this guy. Outstanding in a field. He's got no direction. He's all dressed up with no place to go. He has no idea who his audience is on Pinterest. He's dumping blog posts that aren't optimized, and he's not even trying to be the least bit creative, and he's not caring on following up with comments on his pins, which leads us to how can we be creative and creativity on Pinterest? Well, I was lucky enough to visit with Mr. Mark Schaefer on the aircraft carrier mixer party at last year's Social Media Marketing World, and he said something that really stuck with me. He said, great content is just the price of sitting at the table. Well, I think we need to take it one step further and say excellent visual marketing is what gets you invited back to dinner. Now, this is especially important on a visual network like Pinterest. Great-looking pins do better hands down. They just really do. And people will repin stuff that they find that interesting and pretty. And a lot of times, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, it won't even lead to good content. So we'll talk about that later on in a different section. But I want to break these down for you a little bit. My friend Peg Fitzpatrick has an incredible Pinterest account. She does a great job branding each and every pin she creates with her little pink Peg logo. You need to follow her account, and because really, I attribute most of my success on Pinterest because of the advice that she has given me. So she's a great one to follow. I mean, just look at this board. You can tell those are pinned from Peg. She does a great job with her text overlays. Alisa and both Vincent talked about how important those text overlays are on your pins, because even now Pinterest looks at that for their search. So follow Peg. She is a great account on Pinterest to follow. A great account is Rebecca Radice. When you see a pin from Rebecca, you know it's a pin from hers because of the distinct orange color. I mean, come on. Orange is hard to match with any other colors, but Rebecca pulls it off. I mean, you can't even rhyme orange. I mean, try it. Orange, orange, orange. There's no word in English language that rhymes with orange. But anyway, somehow Rebecca can really nail it, and you always can tell her branding on Pinterest and also on her blog articles. Donna Moritz from Socially Sorted does another great job, and she also spoke at the visual marketing on the summit. And she's got a distinctive, playful style that I just really, really do love. She also has some great tips on her blog on visual marketing. Here's one you may not know about, but it's madlemmings.com, and the guy who does it is a name Ashley Falks, and I think he's in Switzerland, but he's a great guy, and he has a really distinctive style that really stands out in the feed. Now, he uses filters on his photos to great effect. He also uses images that maybe are different and even sometimes a little bit scary to get his point across. He's another great person to follow. My style is like retro or vintage, and it kind of fits in with my brand. It also hopefully gives my articles and my pins a feeling of timelessness that I really, really like. Now, I want to make it clear. It took me a long time to arrive here. If you go look back at some of my early pins, they are bad. I mean, really, really bad. But the point is, I stuck with it, and I gradually, over time, refined my brand and the way my image and my visual branding was happening. So I stuck with it, and go back and look at some of my old pins, and you'll see exactly what I mean. So, similarities between these accounts. Hopefully by looking at these accounts, they're pretty obvious, the similarities that they have. But I'll mention to them so people who may be listening this later on the audio version of the replay. They all have a consistent look and feel. They try to have that look that will stand out in the Pinterest feed. Fonts are consistent. Almost all of these accounts, and then I've talked to them, they use what they call a style guide to keep the colors and fonts consistent across their brand. Another important thing, the text overlays are easy to read on mobile because 80 to 90% of Pinterest traffic comes from a mobile device. That is huge. So remember how important it is to optimize your images for mobile on Pinterest. The other thing is that what they're doing is they're always testing and refining what works and what they're doing. Rebecca is a great example of this. She was always, always testing what works. Go back and see how her pins have evolved over time. You can see her experimenting and then running with what is working. So, how can you stand out creatively on Pinterest? And Vincent mentioned this earlier, but it's a great, great tip. Look at magazine covers. You know, I personally struggle with font placements and what fonts to use, but go to a bookstore and look how text is laid out on magazine covers. I mean, you can get tons of inspiration on how to do text overlays by just using Vincent's tip. You know, use custom filters like Ashley does to create your own look and feel. I use a vignette on almost all my images, and that's what a vignette is a little, it's darker at the corners, and it's actually a filter in Instagram. In fact, I use that a vignette on all my posts that I put over on Instagram. But use your own filter combinations to stand out. Now, Peg has covered this in her talk, but you can copy and paste the filters that you like or have created in Canva under the advanced features. In fact, I have a whole list of different ones that I like that I have copied and pasted and saved in Evernote. You can do the same thing in Notepad or any place that's easy to copy and paste and save for later. It saves you an incredible amount of time when you're going back and trying to design something for a brand or for a campaign that you're working on. It's a great quick little tip to do. So, what if you feel like you can't design anything? Well, to get started, hire a designer just to create some templates for you in Canva or PicMonkey or another online thing that's easy to use. Because I believe creativity is like a muscle. You know, the more you use it, the more it will strengthen you being creative. start playing around with those templates you get that designer to create for you, and pretty soon you'll start to have your own ideas that you'll want to try. So hire a designer. Don't be scared to ask, and you can get some great prices. It's not going to cost you an arm and a leg, but hire a designer and have them create something that you can play with but is also very functional for you, for your brand. The other way to stand out creatively on Pinterest is to choose the right image. I have people say to me all the time, "Jeff, you're such a great photographer." And I'm like, "No, I'm a good stock photographer. Because I don't have the time to take images. I mean, I can take decent ones, but it's not my strong suit. So I have really tried to refine and think of ways I can really excel on choosing photos that are either free or I can find on stock photography. So what do you notice about all these images that I have on the screen right now? And these are all stock photos, by the way. Yeah, there's a place to put text easily. Start training your eye when you're looking at stock images to think where you're going to put that text overlay. And another thing, don't just buy the lowest file size that you can get by with. For example, my blog post is 700 by 400 pixels, but I usually buy two or three times bigger than that. So why is that? Well, so I have options. I can rotate, I can scale, I can play with the image. This is especially important when you're using free images. That way you can set yourself apart from everyone else in the stream because those free sites get hit hard by a lot of bloggers and other people. Just like the boxer photo you see at the bottom of your screen there. If I bought sizes that were larger, I could rotate him to be punching up at the text or punching down at the text. I can give that image way more visual impact. Now remember, you can always scale down, but you can't scale your images up without them becoming fuzzy or pixelated. I'm getting a drink of water there. So free versus paid image resources. You know, I love free just like everyone else. The problem is, if you're not careful, you'll see that same image on multiple blog posts. And that goes back to my earlier point of downloading the largest size possible so you can have some creative options on cropping and rotating. Try to make your image, even the free ones, as different as possible. Use those filters that we talked about earlier and some other techniques. My favorite site for free images is pexels.com. And the reason is because it has such a great search tool. There's a lot of free sites that have some great options for some great images. But it's a pain to try to find them because either the search box doesn't work well or they don't even have one and they expect you to scroll through all those images. Well, who has time for that? If you guys are like me, you're struggling to have time to make and be creative on images anyway. So I really like pexels.com because of the search feature that they have. And that's why I like to use 123rf.com as my go-to site for paid images. That's 123. Royaltyfree.com. And I probably use them for about 80% of my images. And the main reason is the search capability that I mentioned before and the ability to use what they call like boxes. Say I'm searching for an image like this one for tools. I enter tools in the search bar and I actually refine it a little more and I would say something like vintage tools or retro tools. And all these different options come up. Well, what I can do is click on the little heart button underneath that image, and it automatically puts it in a little save folder for me to look at later. So I can quickly go through what the search results are and kind of scan what pops out in my eye and click the ones that I want to save later. Now, many times I'm going through the search, searching for an image, and I see a great image, but it really doesn't apply to what I'm working on at that moment. Well, I have multiple of these like box folders set up, and so I'll just switch to one, like say for my podcast or for Social Media Examiner, and I can place that image in there, and it saves a ton of time for getting later those images down the road when I'm trying to access them for projects down the line. So those are two of the different sites that I use for images. Pexels.com is free, and 123rf.com is paid, and the paid one is very, very affordable. They have a subscription version, but they also have credits, which is what I use currently because I don't need enough daily images to go and jump to the subscription model. So, next steps. What in the world do I do now? So, what style of visuals appeal to you? You're going to do a better job of creating images if you are excited and like a certain style. Now, hear me on this. Don't copy. I do not want to see a bunch of orange retro images with a pink circle logo coming out of this conference. But I want you to be inspired of what you find and like and create your own. What colors do you like? What type of art do you enjoy looking at? Use the world around you to create your own personal image style. Which leads us to the next C on growing your Pinterest, consistency. Now, my friend Ross Quintana told me that he always tries to crush it with consistency, and I just love the saying. So consistency, I think, has been one of the biggest factors on me growing my audience and influence on Pinterest. Now, because one of the goals on any social media platform is to be consistent with your efforts. You know, just like most podcasts that launch don't usually go past the seventh episode, you know, I see many people who start strong on Pinterest who taper off after a couple of months. Pinterest is a long play. It may take a little bit to start seeing traffic, but Pinterest is still the best driver of long-term traffic that there is. Many people who are consistent with their pinning have Pinterest become the main driver of their social traffic. So, when is the best time to pin? I get this question quite a bit, and I'm going to share probably for the first time the formula that I use. So you may want to get your notebooks ready or your screen capture set up. Okay, I want you to wait for it. Wait for it. There it is. My Pinterest super secret formula. You got all that? Okay. Here's my real pin schedule. I do it daily. I pin once in the morning. I pin again in the evening, and I schedule pins to be pinned throughout the day. That's it. I don't stress over times. I usually do my morning pinning over a coffee and the evening ones right before I go to bed after I watch something on TV or something. But I don't stress about it. But I am consistently pinning every day. And that is key, is that I'm doing it every day consistently. So, how many pins should you pin per day? Well, as Vincent mentioned a little bit in his talk, this varies on your marketing goals. If you're really wanting to grow your account, I'd pin as much as you possibly can. Ahology, a great company that has some great info with their recent marketing study, and it's free, and you really need to go check it out. I really recommend it. They recommend, and some other people that I've checked with, recommend 15 to 30 pins per day. Now, that's just not your own pins. That includes repins of others to your account. Now, this is important. Remember, you are wanting to add value for your audience, so make sure that the repins are linking to accurate information and that the data you're sharing by repinning that content is up to date. Now, I see this happening from even big social media companies. They're not checking the links that their pins, when you click on their pins that they go to, their pin links. Personally, I don't find value from sharing mobile stats for a flip phone from 2002, even if there's a pretty image associated with it. Remember, you're trying to provide value to your audience. Unless the pin has incredible evergreen content, I don't pin pins that link to information that is over a year old. The first thing that I do when I check a link on a pin is I check the date on the blog post. If they don't list the date on the blog, I scroll down to the comments and see when the last comment was to get an idea of how old that article is. And if I don't see one, I can't figure it out, I don't pin it. I don't care who repins or shares it. My audience is too important to me to mess around with giving them bad data with pins. So that being said, I'll get off my soapbox there. So I want to add this from the Ahology study as well, that men are one of Pinterest's fastest growing demographics and have grown 120% in the past year. In fact, there are more male Pinterest users in the U.S. than subscribers to GQ and Sports Illustrated combined. Holy cow! There's a real opportunity here, gentlemen. I'm just saying. So, all right. So, what kind of content should you pin? When I first got started on Pinterest, I was pinning just my content, and I was laser focused on just sharing content that was my industry, which was social media. Well, Peg Fitzpatrick reminded me that I was a multifaceted jewel, which I've never been called before, and I really hope was a compliment. And people wanted to know what interested me. So I created some other boards that still kind of fit within my brand, but were on subjects like manly food, man caves, bacon — everybody loves bacon — geek stuff, woodworking, And I've gotten a ton of tractions with those boards. I still pin most things that are related to my industry, but I pin daily things that give people insight on this guy called Jeff C. So mix it up. Don't be afraid to share things that interest you. People want to do business with real people. So one of the ways I make sure that I'm consistent with my pinning activity on Pinterest is by using scheduling apps. Now hear me on this. I don't schedule all my pins. Remember, I pin in the morning and evenings organically. And I try to add, if I can, content straight from the website that the content was on. So if I find a great article from my Feedly profile where I'm kind of curating content, I usually go to that website, and if they have a good image, I will pin directly from that website because I think it kind of helps with getting my pins seen in the smart feed. However, Tailwind and others have said that scheduling pins does not affect positively and negatively on how your pins are seen in the feed, and Elisa has a great article on that. And both Buffer and Pinterest have access to the Pinterest API, which is very, very important. But I tend to hedge my bets and do both. I pin organically, and I also schedule my pins. Now, Buffer is a great tool that I use every day for all my social media channels, except Pinterest. My tool of choice for scheduling pins is Tailwind. Not only do they have incredible analytics for Pinterest, but their scheduling tool is simply awesome. I think Buffer is a great option if you want to start experimenting with scheduling pins, and really recommend that, especially if you use it for your other networks. But for power pinning, I use Tailwind, and here's why. Here's the back end of the Pinterest schedule. This is the draft view where you can see all my pins and how they are ready to be scheduled on the calendar on the right. It's super easy to see what's coming up and where I need to fill holes, because I like to mix up the categories that I'm pinning to. For example, I like to pin a blog tip, then a mainly food recipe, and then maybe a tip on streaming video or one to my geek board. Well, this interface allows me to see everything really, really cleanly. Another great feature with Tailwind, and Vincent mentioned this as well, is that it shows me the best time to pin. The black times are the times that I'm already pinning on those days. The light green times are the ones that I need to fill, and the ones with the plus before them are the ones that that are suggested by Tailwind by their super secret algorithm that they're saying would be optimal for me to pin to if I wanted to add those times to my schedule. And all I have to do is click those times to add them to my pin schedule. It's as easy as that. The last killer feature I want to talk about with Tailwind is what they call interval pinning. Now, I'm a member of quite a few of different group boards with other pinners, and I've always struggled with remaining active on those. I always would forget to pin content there. Well, interval pinning makes it super easy. As you can see on the image on the left, I've shared one of my blog posts, and I've added all the appropriate group boards to the list. Now, I don't want to pin those all at the same time. I want to spread them out for maximum effect. So I click on that button on the bottom called Use Interval. Well, the screen on the right comes up and allows me to set the time interval that those will be pinned to those boards. I have it currently set at a day interval, but you can set weekly, monthly, whatever you'd like. And you can also click on a calendar on the day you would actually like the interval to start. Now, the cool thing is that whatever interval that you set, it uses the best time to pin information to schedule those pins. You know, then you just click on schedule now, and those pins are scheduled for optimal posting on all those different boards. Another quick note before we leave Tailwind, that it also allows you to track comments, which is another great way to stand out on Pinterest. As Vincent and Elisa mentioned before, Pinterest is more a search discovery tool than it is a social media network. When somebody comments on your post, it really, really stands out. It really doesn't happen as much as other platforms. So Tailwind allows you to track comments, and it's something you want to jump right on and respond to quickly. So next steps. I want you to honestly think of what kind of schedule you can handle for the results that you want. If you're serious about growing your account, can you really, really do it daily? Do you need to move to a slower pace and maybe do it 3 times a week or once a week? The key is to set a schedule and pin consistently. Well, we mentioned earlier that consistency is key, but for me, collaboration is the secret sauce for growing a Pinterest account. And I want to give you a few examples. This is my logo for my brand, as well as the artwork for my podcast. But this wasn't the first one that I came up with when I was developing my brand. This is the logo that I first came up with. I mean, all the elements are there, but I don't know what I was thinking about with the color. I mean, it's the color of somebody slowly choking a Smurf. It's horrible. And so, you know, when I got this done, the first one done, I was kind of full of myself, and I sent it to my friend Elisa Meredith, just knowing that she was going to sing my praises, and she was like, no. Why don't you try red? And I did, and that logo is what happens. That logo gets me more comments than anything else that I have ever designed. Now, a couple of key takeaways from that. You need to have colleagues that will tell you the truth. I think that's actually why there's so many horrible singers who try out for American Idol. They sing at church, and a little old lady says, "Oh, that was wonderful. You are so good." When, honestly, God was even going, "Please, please don't ever do that again." Anyway, you need to have colleagues that will give you honest, constructive feedback that will make you better. My friend and fellow presenter today, Vincent, has a great blog article about finding a Pinterest marketing buddy. You know, when I first started getting started in this industry, it was a big deal for me to talk and collaborate with people in my industry because I viewed them as competitors. But don't think of them as competitors. Think of them as collaborators. My opportunities skyrocketed once I got over this hurdle. In fact, I've collaborated with all the Pinterest presenters in today's summit. We pin each other's pins, we share each other's ideas, tips, tactics, warnings about spammers, all sorts of things with each other. If you're trying to get on the radar of others in your industry, pin their images. Thank them for pinning your images on Pinterest. We mentioned earlier, Pinterest is more of a search discovery tool. And so thank yous and comments get noticed. Make sure to follow up with those comments, and just don't say thank you. Try to add some value to the conversation. Build relationships with them on other platforms. Share content that they have created on Pinterest on platforms like Twitter and Facebook. You know, I know I talk about Peg Fitzpatrick a lot, but really she did mentor me a lot when I first got started and we became friends, and she has probably helped me out more than anyone else on social media. But the key was that when we were first getting to know each other, I wasn't spammy. I was trying to add value to her post. I was posting thoughtful comments and questions, and it got me noticed. It's just like when you were on a first date. After the dinner and movie is over, you just don't blurt out, "Will you marry me?" Well, maybe you did, and now it's time to come out of your mom's basement, learn some social skills, and try again. But anyway, relationships on social are the same as relationships in real life. The good ones take time to develop. So, takeaways. Who is in your network or circles that you can already partner with that are already around you? Who do you want to be in your network that you've been scared to comment on their post? Well, try to comment and add some value to that conversation. Set a goal to comment on somebody's pin once a day. So, one of the best ways to amplify your network on Pinterest is through cross-promotion. Here are some tactics that have helped me grow my Pinterest presence. I used a pin of the day post to great effectiveness on Google+, and this is another thing that Peg had showed me. But I would cross-promote it on Facebook and Twitter as well. I was actually doing this for a while on every business day and then doing a wrap-up post at the end of the week. I would use pin of the day in the title as well as the hashtag. And rarely what I would do, I would rarely use that pin of the day to promote myself. I use it to mostly share other people's content, but the cool thing is it still drove traffic back to my Pinterest account. It helped my account grow, and it got me noticed. I mean, it was extremely valuable to my audience since I was curating content and sharing one pin of the day that I thought held the most value. People actually started to comment, "Yeah, I made Jeff C's pin of the day," which was really cool. Now, both Peg and Rebecca Radice use the Pin It for Later call to action to great effect. It allows your followers to quickly curate your article or post to a board to be read later. It's a great way to drive traffic, once again, back to your Pinterest account on multiple networks. And you can see right there that the Pin It for Later is just really the Pinterest URL. People click on that, and it takes them to your pin, and then they can repin it to their own board. And so you're still growing your account and promoting yourself, even though you're sharing other people. So it's a really cool little hack to get more people's eyeballs on your account, and it's very effective. And you can also use that on Facebook and Twitter. You can actually take that Pinterest URL, put a pretty link on it, and use it, pin it for later in your Twitter link. Well, I want to add a feature in this section here because it could add a lot of value to your clients who have brick and mortar stores or restaurants. Pinterest has had place pins for a while now, but now, just last week, I think we talked about it, Social Media Examiner's Blab Show, that they have added some extra information that is pulling straight from Foursquare. Some of the extra information is now you can see in this screenshot that it actually has, you can call straight from Pinterest. You can get directions right to your map application and GPS and find stuff there. And so it's got a lot of helpful, cool information. It actually has tips. I did my own city, and it came up with a review of the town, which was really kind of funny. And so it's a great way to get some extra information, and I really think you guys really should check it out and try doing that. In fact, we are working on putting together a map board for Social Media Marketing World for places to eat and see during the conference next year. And the cool thing is you can look at those pins and you can see your location and what else is close. So it's going to be a cool way to provide some helpful information to the attendees of the event. So don't forget, you just don't have to just pin images to Pinterest. You can also pin video. In fact, I have a board where I pin all my YouTube shows and also a group board where other video content creators can pin their own shows. The cool thing is that you can watch the video natively right inside of Pinterest. You can also pin SoundCloud files, which are audio files, and also animated GIFs that play natively inside Pinterest as well. Now, I've experimented with trying the SoundCloud files. I don't know if people will sit there and listen to an entire podcast, but it might be a great way for you to promote your next, do a little short little clip and promote your full broadcast that you want them to go to on iTunes, but experiment with it. Try to see what works for you and your company. Some people, if it's a specific Pinterest-related podcast like mine, they may stay there and listen to the whole thing natively on Pinterest. So I want you to try some different ways and different things to pin as well. So next steps, do you have content you can pin that you haven't thought of before? Maybe you have a video that you've done for your company, or you could chop up and do multiple little videos that you could put inside of Pinterest on a video board. Or maybe you have a podcast that you could repurpose and have another place where people can discover you and find your content. I want you to think creatively on what you can pin. I know you're disappointed that our time together is coming to a close, and this is the last Pinterest session of the summit because Pinterest truly is such an awesome platform. Pinterest really does hold some great opportunities for, I believe, all types of businesses. And if you're not active, I hope the sessions today gave you some great ideas on how to jump on this great visual platform. So thanks, everyone, for this great opportunity. Feel free to hit me up with any questions you have at manlypinteresttips.com. There's also a little tackle box there. I talked about two of my favorite image sources, but there's an entire, I try to list as many free resources and paid sources, too, in that resource as well. But I think, Phil, we have time for a couple of questions, if I'm not mistaken.
We sure do, Jeff. Great job. And we got a late start, so we're going to go a little bit long here as well. Going to dive right in. Should you ever delete old, irrelevant pins?
Wow, that is a big topic of contention right now. I do not, unless there's two different thoughts on this, that yes, you should delete it because it helps people find your stuff and makes you look more relevant. And then there's other people who say, no, leave it up there because it's still giving a source back to your website. And then I read something actually today about somebody saying it depends on the size of your followers, that 30,000 and smaller should not, but if you have more than that, you should. So I think the jury's still out on that. I wouldn't start deleting pins until things start really happening, because to me it's just one more piece of another place where people can come back and find my content and link back to my website. So I still think the jury's out on that, but I would caution to go and start just deleting entire boards unless they were completely irrelevant to your industry at this time.
What if it's something like a product that you no longer even carry, or the sale is over and now it's going to make you look bad because they saw 50% off and now it's full price? What about this?
Yeah, that would be fine to delete. I've actually had a question like that on one of our group boards that I'm a part of, and it was a sale from last year, and so it was better just to delete them, even though you may lose some links back to that. It was just better to delete it because it wasn't giving good information. I'm all about the audience. What makes sense for the audience? If it's not relevant data, then it shouldn't be deleted. And let me go back to what your question was before that about deleting pins. Like I said in the presentation, if it's going to bad or outdated data, then I would go ahead and delete it. I would only leave, you know, after a certain amount of time. Like I said, if you're linking back to flip phone usage in 2002, it's probably not really relevant to your audience. So I would go ahead and delete those pins.
Very good. Tailwind, is it free or freemium, or how does that work?
Yeah, they do have a free version. I think they have a one that's pretty affordable. I don't know the prices right off the top of my head. I do not use the full-blown version. I still have the light plan, which is a monthly fee. But the cool thing is I do believe they have a trial version, so you can go in and test it out.
Awesome. Anna wants to know, when you're pinning as often as you are, do you ever repin the same pins? How often do you, if you do?
That's a great question. What I do a lot of times, and we also do this for Social Media Examiner, is I'll pin one organically, which like right now. So if I saw a pin by Vincent on his website, I would go ahead and pin that right now. But it probably would, since I am in the industry, it would probably fit in multiple boards. So I would probably pin it to my social media board, but then I would go ahead and add it to the Tailwind scheduler to be pinned on the my Pinterest board. And then I also may go do it for my one of my group boards and schedule it out that way. So I do that with all of the ones that I think provide my audience value, because they may miss it in the feed if they don't go check on my board. So if it's something that I, like from Elisa or Peg or Vincent or one of those people that I talked about, I will probably schedule that to be repinned multiple times. I don't do them all at once. I mean, you can pin them to multiple boards at the same time, but I like to schedule them out to get the most bang for my buck. We do the same thing with Social Media Examiner. Whatever that article is that day, is I go ahead and schedule it that day, and then I schedule it the next day at a different, that optimized time that Tailwind says we should. And then I also go ahead and schedule that out months and then even longer than that to come back, especially because a lot of our articles are evergreen. So I think it's fine to pin to different types of boards. I would not continue to pin to the same board, because when people go back, to the same board, because when people come back and they see just a flood of the same pin, that just doesn't look good. But I'll go ahead and pin it to multiple boards that still are that pin has value to.
So that leads me to another question about how many boards should you have. Is there an optimal number that you've found?
There isn't an optimal number. I've seen some, like some people who have like a million plus followers have tons of boards, and they have a bunch of group boards that they're members of as well. The important thing is that you can rotate your boards. In fact, and Vincent mentioned, or Elisa mentioned this, was that the first top two boards are very, very important. The main reason of that is because 90% of traffic to Pinterest is from mobile, and those first two boards, the two or three boards, show up first when somebody clicks on your profile. And so you want your most important boards to show up first, especially on your mobile device. So a lot of people who do seasonal stuff on Pinterest, they will start rotating those boards to get, like right now, I mean, Halloween's already been, you know, that's almost over. So they've already started rotating those boards up for Thanksgiving, and Christmas will be right behind that. So because they want to have their most important boards up to the top of their account, and it's really easy to do in your profile. You just drag and drop.
Cool. Christine is asking a question about consistency and branding on a Pinterest page that gathers and curates resources from other sources. Original content obviously will play a part, but how do you link all this various content together and still keep a consistent brand?
You break them down by boards. Like, I pin to my woodworking board and stuff like that, but it's down at the bottom, and I don't pin as much as that of that. You want to make sure, because you can change links on Pinterest, but nothing will get your account flagged and pinners mad at you if you change the link to point to your own content. So I want to be very clear that when you repin something, not to change the URL destination on that pin, unless it's spam or something. But I mean, it's better not even, I don't even mess with that. So, because we've come across in the Pinterest community where people have pretty much hijacked all our pins that we have created to point back to some sort of spammy content. And the bad thing is, if we find out about you, we will all report you to Pinterest at the same time, and your account will probably go away. So make sure that you don't mess with and try to hijack anybody's pins, because that is really frowned upon on Pinterest. But as for mixing your brand up, you know, like I said in the presentation, think about your audience. What is going to be helpful for them? You know, people say, well, why are you pinning Vincent stuff? Because he's a competitor. But he has good good information. He has good content, and I want my audience to get good content. And so it really doesn't hurt me at all. It actually makes me look good to my my audience by doing that.
Got time for one more question here. With the advent of guided search, how important do you think it is to build your following these days?
You know, that's a good question. You know, everybody asks, you know, it's a vanity metric, and all the social media people say, oh, we don't care about our followers, but they're lying. They always look at their follower count. Everybody does it. But it's better to have good content, and Vincent mentioned that, and Elisa did as well, is to make sure that you're really optimizing your Pinterest description, your titles and descriptions of your boards, and also the titles and descriptions of your pins. You know, think about what Google likes, and Pinterest kind of likes the same kind of thing. And we didn't mention it today, but Pinterest boards can rank on Google. In fact, I think it's still there. I hope that it's still there. But if you search for instant Instagram tips, a group board that Peg Fitzpatrick and I curate together about Instagram should come up to the top of the URL results. And so it's, you know, having good content and optimizing those descriptions and titles is probably the number one thing you can do, is trying to get seen in the search on Pinterest.
I'm going to ask you one more question. Aaron wants to know, and I do too, any insight on how well videos are performing on Pinterest, and how do you find that out?
You check your analytics, like of that board, like Vincent gave you some tips on how to do that during his session. I think they're doing, I mean, people watch them. I haven't checked my numbers in a while, but for me, it's so easy, because you just go to YouTube and click pin it. It's worth the trouble of doing, because it doesn't take that much time, and it's just one more opportunity for people to see you if you're talking about your brand or your content. I just think it's just one more place to have your information. I don't see any downside in doing that.
Fantastic job, Jeff.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.